There are two major glands that control the other glands in the endocrine system, and these are the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. In fact, the pituitary gland is often called the master gland, although in fact it's the hypothalamus that controls the pituitary gland. So, at least in my opinion, the hypothalamus should probably be the one that's called the master gland, although by tradition it's usually the pituitary gland that has that name. The hypothalamus is going to regulate what the pituitary gland does, and then the pituitary gland will regulate what the other endocrine glands do. The hypothalamus, if you remember from ANP1, is actually part of the brain, and it's going to be partly nervous tissue, but also glandular tissue. It does secrete some regulatory hormones. And the hormones that the hypothalamus secretes go primarily to the pituitary and control the actions of the pituitary gland. The hypothalamus is going to be important in that it integrates the nervous system and the endocrine system. So you can think of it as sort of a communication point between the nervous system and the endocrine system. It allows the nervous system to influence the endocrine system and also allows the endocrine system to influence the nervous system. Now, the pituitary gland is going to be, if you remember back in ANP1 when you were learning about the skull, if you remember in the inside of the skull, there was a structure called the cella turcica, and it's also called the Turkish saddle because it looked kind of like a saddle. And that's where the pituitary gland sits, is right inside the cella turcica. And the pituitary gland, as I mentioned before, is called often called the master gland. It secretes a number of hormones. And there is a diagram in your textbook. I think it's called the pituitary hormones and their targets. In the brand new textbook, it's figure 16-9. You might want to take a look at that. The pituitary gland is divided into two lobes. And we will talk about the different lobes. They have slightly different functions. But I do want to also point out that the connection between the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland is a stalk of tissue called the infundibulum. And what's important about the infundibulum is it's going to contain neurons that are going from the hypothalamus to the pituitary, and also blood vessels which form what's called the hypophyseal portal system. And the hypophyseal portal system is going to be a series of blood vessels and capillaries and so on that transport hormones from the hypothalamus to the pituitary. So I skipped down on the page a little bit to hypophyseal portal system. I'll come back up to the anterior pituitary. As I mentioned before, the pituitary gland is divided into two different lobes that are distinct from one another. They're made up of different kinds of tissue. The anterior pituitary is sometimes called the adenohypophysis. Sorry, I'm really bad at pronouncing that one too. And this portion of the pituitary gland is primarily hormonal. It's going to secrete a number of different hormones. So if you look on that diagram, pituitary hormones and their targets, you'll see that most of the hormones that are leaving from the pituitary are actually leaving from the anterior pituitary. And the anterior pituitary is going to have capillaries surrounding it and also, connecting with the hypothalamus, and that's that hypophyseal portal system is the blood vessels connecting those two things, the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. Some of the hormones of the anterior pituitary, these are going to be hormones that generally, for the most part, these are hormones that are going to go to or target the other endocrine glands, and they are going to stimulate those glands to secrete whatever hormone those glands produce. So, for example, thyroid stimulating hormone will go from the pituitary gland to the thyroid gland, And as its name implies, thyroid stimulating hormone, it's going to stimulate the thyroid and cause it to produce actual thyroid hormone, which will then be secreted into the bloodstream and used by the cells of the body. Some other examples of some of the hormones that are released by the anterior pituitary include growth hormone, prolactin, follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone. There's a variety of hormones that are secreted by the anterior pituitary. Again, most of these hormones, with a few exceptions, do not impact body tissues directly. Instead, they target the other endocrine glands that are throughout the body and cause those glands to secrete whatever hormone they produce. One exception to that rule would be prolactin. Prolactin leaves the pituitary and goes directly to the mammary glands and helps to trigger the production of milk. Okay, posterior pituitary is also called the neurohypophysis, hypophysis, I guess would be a better way to say it. The posterior pituitary does secrete some hormones. If you take a look at the diagram again, there is oxytocin, which is an important hormone, and antidiuretic hormone. Both of these hormones we'll talk about more in future chapters, especially antidiuretic hormone, but also oxytocin. But mainly the connection between the hypothalamus and the pituitary is neural. And so it's going to be involved with neural stimulation from the hypothalamus. And that's why axons are going to go from the hypothalamus to the posterior pituitary. And again, some of the hormones of the posterior pituitary, or the only hormones of the posterior pituitary, are going to be oxytocin and antidiuretic hormone. Now, going back to the role of the pituitary gland, again, it does release hormones that are called releasing hormones. And for the most part, what these hormones do is they trigger the release of other hormones by the endocrine glands. And keep in mind that releasing hormones are going to be